Now doing the Medrash of the story of Yehudit. Now, there are many different versions to this story. We're going to read this version. There are... I made a mistake. Yeah, Yehudit. So this is a long story, but we're going to learn it.
It
was in the days of Eliphorni, the Greek king. He was mighty and powerful. He conquered many countries. He conquered many powerful kings. He destroyed their castles. He burnt down their churches. It was 10 years into his reign. He focused his intent. He's going to conquer Jerusalem, the holy city. He amassed with him 1,200,000 men of arms. V'tzadi bet elef balei chitzim, 92,000 archmen, archers. V'yomer ha-melech aleihem, the king said to them, in amnei Yisrael shebushalayim, mishnuim etatem tatem melech enam osim. The Jews of Jerusalem are different in their religion and they don't adhere to the king's practices. Jerusalem is a city that's filled with deceit. They are deceitful people. Atakumu menakumu la milchama. Let's go and attack Jerusalem. Velo yizacher shem Yisraelot. Let's eradicate the name of Israel. Ve'an melech echad asher haya kavush tachat yado b'milchama ve'yomer lo. One of the kings that he had conquered, that Eliphorni, the Greek king, had conquered, said to him, Chada lecha melech me'elohi olam elohi Yisrael elohi Elohim. I advise you, your highness, stay away from the Jewish God. He is the power above all powers. Hashem gibo milchama moshel gvurto olam. Hashem is more mighty than anyone here. He conquers. He is the one who masters wars. Inav bagoyim titzpena asorim nilechem im amo v'nachlato lo imot. Hashem pays attention to the nations and those that fight his nation. Well, Hashem's not going to let you take over his land. Pay attention. God calls the nations Gentiles and the Jews his people. All the nations are called foreigners. Who thinks that he can go and fight the Jews? Why don't you look at the history books? Pay attention to what happened to earlier kings. Those who fought the Jews, what happened to them in the end? Take note, what happened to Pharaoh, Sancheirev, and the other kings? You will wither away, you and your people. And believe me, you will not be able to fight the Jews. They are swifter than eagles, they are more powerful than lions. Believe me, they are mighty people and they have a reputation that's such. So when Eliphorni heard this king who he had conquered speak this way, the king got very upset and his anger burnt inside him and he said, who dares say that the Jews are more powerful than me? Who dares say that the Jews could stand up to my army that is so big? Is there any nation that was able to stand up to me? Is there any God that was able to stand up to me? How dare you think that God, the Jewish God, will save Jerusalem from me? So he ordered that that king be tortured, because he says that king spoke badly and weakened and spoke bad against my armies. How dare he say that his nation, his army, won't be able to stand up to the Jews? So he ordered that that king be put in shackles and he should be brought along to the war against Jerusalem. The king was filled with wrath against him. And he should be led in front of the army and everyone should look at him and see this is how the king treats someone who dares speak good about the Jews. So the king ordered, Eliphorni ordered that this king be taken with them to war. And after you see, you witness the victory against the Jews, then they'll kill this king after he sees what befalls the Jews. So his servants took him and they brought him to the gates of Jerusalem. So they took him in shackles and they led him into Jerusalem. And they told him, now you could be with the Jews, because when we kill all the Jews, we'll kill you with them. So they send the king in shackles into Jerusalem, and he walks into Jerusalem, and he finds Uzziah ben Michav Karmi. So he finds the generals of the Jewish army, and he tells them what happened to him, that he's being sent into here in shackles because he spoke that way about the Jews. And the king told him, you go live with the Jews, because when we kill out the Jews, you'll be with them and you'll die with them. And now the king dared speak that he will destroy the Jews, and he cursed out the Jewish army, and he said, you see, I took down every other god, of course I'll be able to take down Jerusalem, and God won't stand in my way. So when they heard that this was the king's plan, they got very scared, because the Greek army was over 1 million soldiers. So they came to the Bet Mikdash and they prayed and they wept and they said, Hashem, you who is in the Holy of Holies, you alone are God, and you rule over all the nations of the earth. You made the heaven, the earth. Listen to what was just said about you. Look and see what Eliphorni said, and how he blasphemed against you who are living. You are king of the world. Oh yes, they've been able to take down other nations and their gods, because they are not gods. That's why they were able to burn them in fire. They are the handiwork of man, made of wood and stone. But Hashem, you stand up and save us from his hands. Pour out your wrath on the nations that don't recognize you, these kingdoms that deny your existence, because you don't leave those who have faith in you, and put down this man who dares have confidence in human strength and confidence in his horses. And we're on the top of page 61. So when they finished their prayer, they went and they comforted this king, and they said to him, you honored Hashem's name, our God, the God of our forefathers. Hashem will protect you, and you will still see how our enemies are defeated. You'll see Hashem will take revenge on behalf of his people, and Hashem should be with you, and you will be able to live among the Jews. You'll choose where you want to live, and we'll respect that. And then Uzziah came, and he brought the king into his house. They made a big party in his honor, and then they gathered back to the temple to pray the whole night. The next morning, Eliphorni ordered that they attack Jerusalem. And he had 1,200,000 foot soldiers. He had 12,000 horsemen. And they amassed against Jerusalem. And when the Jews saw such a huge army, so they just sat on the ground and wept. And they said, Hashem, you have to save us. They took their weapons, and what they did was, they the way up to Jerusalem, there are thin paths. So they slept on those paths. And when Eliphorni surrounded the mountains, he found the paths where the waters came in to Jerusalem. And he said, destroy the waterways, so we'll starve them out. So they said, look, it's not their strength that they have confidence in, but the Jews know that the way up the mountain is very thin. So we have a big army, but in order to enter, we have to go single file, and then our army is worthless. So if you want to win, the only way you can ensure that you win the Jews is by laying siege on the city. Because to try and attack the city, all our numbers won't succeed. If you quench them in thirst, if you lay a siege, then you'll win. So the king says, okay, good idea. So he appoints people to search out all the different sources of water, and they start emptying any reservoir, any source of water that would lead into Jerusalem. And after 20 days, the Jews of Jerusalem realize that there's no water left in the city. So they gathered to Uzziah, the leader, and they said to him, Hashem should judge between you and us, because you could have given in to the king, and now, because of you, we're going to fall in his hands and no one can help us. Why don't we just give ourselves into the hands of the king? Isn't it better to be slaves to Eliporni and living, and then we'll serve Hashem as slaves rather than stay here and we'll all die of thirst? We testify today, the heaven and the earth, that Hashem watches over us, that we demand that right now you should give over the city to the king. Because at least we should die a quick death by sword and not stay here and die a slow death of dying of thirst. So when the generals heard that the people were not with them, they started crying. They went to the Beit HaMikdash and they cried before Hashem and they said, we've obviously transgressed. We've obviously done things that are wrong, by mistake, on purpose. But Hashem, don't be silent. Hashem, don't leave us at this time, because your enemies are right now, they're letting out their purr. Your enemies are lifting their heads and they're planning to destroy us. They said, let's eradicate the nation of Israel. Let's ensure that the name of Israel will not be remembered anymore. They said, let's go destroy the house of God. That's their plan. That's what they made a pact about. So Hashem, you're the Father of mercy. Have mercy on your people, on your land. Don't give the people of your covenant into the hands of the nations. They don't recognize you. Why should the nations say, where's the Jewish God? Hashem, you're the mighty one. You should take down those who rise against you. Take them down the way you took down Midian, Sisera, Yavin, and you took down in Ein Dor. You made them all be fertilizer over the ground. Take them down like Orev, Ze'ev, Zevach, Tzalmuna. Take them down. So they're crying and weeping in the Beit HaMikdash. And Uzziah, who's the chief general, his eyes are stinging with tears. And he comes out to the Jews and he says, strengthen your hearts. Let's hope to Hashem. And let's give it 5 more days. And if Hashem doesn't save us by then, so then in 5 days we'll give over Jerusalem into the hands of the Greeks. And when the people heard this, there was a widow there named Yehudit. She was the daughter of Be'eri. And she was a very God-fearing woman. And she was a widow. And on the second floor, on the upper floor of her house, she made a special room where she would pray. And she had girls who would study by her, and together they'd pray. And throughout her life, ever since, I guess, she became a widow, she would fast and pray for the Jewish people. And she was very beautiful. And anyone who saw her was taken by her beauty. So when she heard Uzziah, that in 5 days, he's prepared to give over the city of Jerusalem to the Greeks, she summons the priests in Uzziah and Carmi, and she tells them, what's wrong with you? You're ready to give over Jerusalem to the enemies?
She summons them?
Correct. She sends word. She wants to talk to them. Why do you think that you have a right to test Hashem and say in 5 days, Hashem save us or we give over the city? That's not the way to have Hashem's mercy upon you. Hashem's going to be upset with you by you laying demands and conditions. You can tell Hashem, as though Hashem's kindness has a limit, you can tell Hashem, by this time you better answer us. You can't tell Hashem how Hashem should behave every day. We can't say, Hashem, if you don't answer us by this time, we're leaving you. Hashem always has mercy. Hashem always has kindness. And we wait for Hashem's salvation. We don't give in and give Hashem a timeline. You can't do that. You know Hashem wants to give us His mercy. The question is when. And it could be at any time that Hashem decides, at this point I'm going to give this nation more time and give them a greater tranquility or peace. No. What you have to do now is arouse the people to do tshuva. You don't come to Hashem and say, Hashem, if within 5 days you don't give it to us, we'll give over the city. You say, Hashem, we know we're wrong. Let us do tshuva. Forgive us. Hashem, we know we've done something wrong. So let's figure out what we've done wrong, and you forgive us, and then we'll be saved. But not by giving Hashem conditions. And if we show Hashem that we take the situation seriously, so then Hashem will give us salvation. Because at the end of the day, we're not as bad as our forefathers. They worshipped idols. We're not worshipping idols. We worship Hashem. We know He's the only one. So Hashem will take our revenge. So now she turns to them and she says, my brothers, the Kohanim, everyone's counting on you. You have to strengthen yourself. After you strengthen yourself, you'll strengthen the Jews. And you'll tell them, you know, our forefathers also had trying times and they stood up to them. If you really love Hashem, then you stand up to the test Hashem gives you. You have to tell them, what you, Kohanim and leaders, have to tell the people is, Avraham Avinu was tested. He was loved because when he was tested, he stood by Hashem. He didn't say, Hashem, you got 5 days. That's not a way to behave. You have a test. You have to say, okay, Hashem, I'm going to do everything I can and I'm going to try to live up to the test. Yitzchak, Yaakov, the forefathers of the nations, they all suffered. And when they suffered, they didn't turn back to Hashem and give Him conditions. On the contrary, they said, even though things are tough, we're faithful to Hashem. Whoever doesn't stand up to the test and complains to Hashem, those are the people that fall. Look back at the Jewish people in the desert. Anytime they complained, they lost. But they had good reason to complain. And yet if they were tested and they turned back against Hashem, that's when they lost. That's not when they were victorious. What you have to see is that just as a father, in order to educate his son, sometimes has to be tough with him and sometimes has to do things that are not comfortable to the boy, so too Hashem puts us in situations which are uncomfortable for us, but that's so we learn from them. We have to grow from them. So Uzziah and the Kohanim tell her, you're right. You're 100% right. Everything you said is right. We messed up. Of course Hashem could save us after 5 days. You pray. Because obviously you have more fear of heaven. And Yehudit says, of course I'll pray. But you also have to pray. And you have to pray for me. Because I have a plan. And I have an idea how to take revenge from the Greeks. And so tonight, what you have to do is stand by the gates. And I'm going to leave with my maid tonight. And you don't ask me any questions. Where I'm coming, where I'm going. What you have to do is daven to Hashem that He should save His people in the name of His honor. So Uzziah, the chief general, says, may you go in peace. And may Hashem grant your wishes. And may Hashem be with you to take revenge from our enemies. So Yehudit goes into her room and wears sack. And she puts earth on her head and she starts praying and she's fasting and praying before Hashem and she says, Hashem, the God of Shimon and Levi, our forefathers, they took the sword in their hands and they went against the nations. And they said, if the nations defiled their sister, they'll fight them over that. And you allowed them to be victorious, to win the nations. Hashem, with your great kindness, your paths are righteous beyond anything we can understand. But look at the enemy, this evil enemy that's come and blasphemed. Just as you look down at the camps of the Egyptians when they chased the Jews, they were certain they'd win because they had chariots, they had a huge army. And what'd you do? You stunned them. You brought them down. They were swept by the waters. So too Hashem, this huge army that's so confident in their strength, who's confident because of their spears and their arrows, and they don't realize that you, Hashem, control wars. Hashem, arouse your wrath against them and put down this enemy. Reveal your great might and pour out your fire, your wrath against these nations that deny your existence. They say, we'll just come in and destroy God's temple and defile it. They think they can just take down your altar. Hashem, in the name of your honor, if not in our honor, let their swords pierce their own hearts. Let their bows be broken. And this evil Eliphorni, who's our staunch enemy, you go against him and bring him down. And let him be entrapped through his eyes. Let him fall in love with me. Let him be overtaken with lust for me, and then give me the strength to be disgusted with him. Give me the strength to destroy him. Let him fall in the entrapment of his own wickedness, and may this be a commemoration of your great name as you give him over in the hands of a woman. Hashem, you don't have to win through a mighty horse. You don't have to win through mighty armies. Hashem, you hate that which is evil. And so you listen to the impoverished and those that are suffering. you listen. And so Hashem, listen to me, accept my prayer, don't disregard my tears, let me have good counsel to sustain and save your temple, so the nations should know you are a living God and none are in control but you. She finished her prayer and she got up and she raised her hands to heaven. She finished her prayer and she calls her maid and says, come, let's get ready. She washes herself. She anoints herself. She puts on perfume. She puts her hair into a beautiful braid. She wears a crown. She puts on royal clothing adorned with gold and all kinds of jewelry. And she wears all kinds of earrings and necklaces and rings. And she makes herself the most beautiful woman, like a queen. And then Yehudit gives her maid a flask of milk and a flask of wine and a flask of oil and flour and bread and cheese, and they go. And when they come to the gates, they find Uzziah and the Kohanim. She had told them, stand by the gates and pray and don't ask me questions, just let me go. They bless her, she should be successful, she should find favor to those who see her, and she should succeed with her plot. And may Jerusalem take pride in you, Yehudit, and may all the righteous people recount you as one of them. And everyone blesses her, and she goes out. She comes down the mountain. It's the crack of dawn. It's still very dark. And Eliphornes' guards catch her. And they say, where are you coming from? Where are you going? And she says, I am one of the Hebrews, and I escaped them because I know that you will win. And that's why I said, let me go to the king Eliphorne and reveal to him all the secrets of the Jews. And let me tell him how he could lead his soldiers so that he can have a quick victory over the Jews. I will tell him the secrets he needs to know to capture the city. And I will tell him everything he needs to know so that he doesn't endanger his soldiers as he attacks the city. When the people heard that, they looked at her, and suddenly they realized, this is a queen before us. So they saw her beauty. They looked at her, and they said, what's going on here? So they said, oh, you should be blessed. You saved yourself from death, and your wise plot is something our master will cherish. Come, we will bring you to him. So they bring her. And right away, he's taken by her beauty, and he is very excited. He is infatuated, and he sees her, and his lust overtakes him. And his servants start talking. They say, why are we battling these people? If they have such beautiful women, how could you hate them? We have to fight and take their women. If this is one of the Jewish women, we want women like that. So the king hears everyone talking around him like that. And Yehudit sees the king sitting on his throne, so she bows before him. And the king right away tells them, pick her up, she's a queen, she shouldn't be bowing. So he says, you should rejoice, you have nothing to worry about. If you want to serve me, I'm not going to kill you. I wouldn't even raise my sword against your nation if not for the fact that they hate me. Now tell me, why'd you come to me? Why'd you choose me over them? So Yehudit says, oh, me and my people, we've all transgressed. And that's why the prophets told us that we're going to be punished for what we've done wrong. And that's why the Jews are scared of you, because they know they've transgressed before Hashem, their God. And you know, there's a big famine in the city. And right now, everyone's on the verge of death. They're so thirsty. And that's why people have already agreed to start slaughtering their sheep and to drink the blood. And people are saying that they don't have to adhere to any of the laws of Torah anymore with regard to their wheat and their wine and their oil. So I know that if they go against the Torah, they will fall and you will succeed. So I knew that we're done for. That if the people are so broken that they're denying the Torah, so I said I have no part with them. They're going to lose. And that's why I left them. And God sent me to tell you that you're going to succeed and you're going to win. But I am Yehudit, your servant. I serve Hashem. Even now that I'm by you, I serve Hashem. And that's why you have to respect my needs. I will have to leave you 3 times a day to pray Hashem, to Hashem. And when I pray before Hashem, He will tell me when you will succeed and He will destroy His people. Hashem wants to pay them back for what they've done wrong, and Hashem will tell me to tell you when the time is right. And I'll tell you how you can enter Jerusalem, and the Jews will be like sheep before you who have no shepherd. No one will dare stand up to you, because I've had a godly vision and I've been sent to you so that you can be the representative of God's wrath against the Jews. The king loved what she was telling him. He got very excited. His servants loved what they were hearing. They got very excited. They say, this lady knows how to talk. This lady's an intelligent lady. If this is what she's saying, we've never seen such an intelligent woman. We've never seen such a beautiful woman. Wow. So the king says, boy, your God has really done something good for you that He sent you here, so that you will give over your people into our hands. And because you've done such good things for us, well, when your God fulfills what He said, so you will be my queen, you will be first in my kingdom, and everyone will hear about you. And so the king says, bring her into my house. And then he says, bring me all the good food, we're going to have a festive meal, me and she. And Yehudit says, I can't eat this food because something bad could happen to me. I have to eat my own food. I'm a Jew. So the king says, is anything missing from my table? What do you mean? Yehudit says, No. Nothing's missing. But until Hashem fulfills what He promised against the Jews, I can't eat anything. And then she says, but you have to give me permission. Tell your servants that I'm allowed to leave at night and I'm allowed to leave at the crack of dawn. Remember our agreement. I'm allowed to leave and pray 3 times a day. And so every night she goes out of the camp and she goes into the waters there and the mikveh there. And every time she'd leave the mikveh, the waters outside, the pool they had there, she'd weep and cry to Hashem and say, help me, let me succeed. And then she comes and eats dinner with him. Doesn't say here what else happened the first 2 days she was with him. Doesn't say. On the third day, the king makes this big party. And he says, look, he tells one of his servants, you're responsible for my harem, all the women I've brought with me. You go tell Yehudit that I'm interested that tonight should be different than the other nights. It sounds like the other nights she wasn't with him. And he tells her, look, don't be so embarrassed. Maybe tonight you'll agree to eat and drink with the king. And so Yehudit says, if that's what he wants me to be with him tonight, how could I withhold that from him? Whatever he wants is good for me forever, my whole life. And Yehudit went and wore her most royal clothing, and she came and stood before the king. And the king saw her, he saw her beauty, he got very excited. Here he told his servant that tonight he wants to consummate their relationship, and she's indicating she's interested. So the king says, come, enjoy the bread, enjoy the wine, I think you're so beautiful. And Yehudit says to her, of course I'll drink, I'm so happy, it's such an honor for me, it's the happiest day of my life. And she sits down to eat, and she takes out her flask of milk, and she drinks from it. And then she gives the king to drink from it. And the king is in high heaven. And she gives him wine, and more wine, and more wine. And he's not used to drinking this much wine. But who's he to turn her down? So she gives him more and more. And throughout the meal, she's refilling his cup. And again, and again. And all the servants leave at the end of the meal. And the king groggily walks to the door and he winks at his servants and closes the door to his tent. And Yehudit is alone in the tent with him. And he goes to bed and she says, just a minute, and he lies there waiting for her and he's out cold. Boom, the wine hit his head. And Yehudi tells the servant, you stand guard outside. You wait and watch that no one comes in. And then she stands by the bed and starts crying. And as she's praying, she says, Hashem, give me the strength. You're the God of Israel. Let me take your revenge, the revenge of your servants Israel. Help us at this moment, Hashem. Help us save the city of Jerusalem and its gates and your holy Beit HaMikdash. Give me the strength and don't make me mess up now. Give me the strength, your strength, Hashem. And as she finished her prayer, she went to the head of the bed, and there she drew the sword of Eliphorni, which was hanging by the head of the bed, and she took his hair, she grabbed him by the hair of his head, and she prayed, and she said, Hashem, give me the strength. And she hit him on the neck, and it wasn't enough. She hit him a second time, and then she cut through his neck and cut off his head. And she then summoned her maid, and she told her, take all his weapons. And then she took his sword, and she wounded him, his whole body, so that there was nothing in his body that wasn't wounded. And then she told her servant, you take his head and put it in your bag. And the two of them left the way they had every other night to go pray. The camp was accustomed. Every other night they had gone through the camp to go pray. No one said a word. That was the order. When they go through, and then they came to the gates of the city, and Yehudit told the guards, she rejoiced, she said, open the gates, because Hashem is with us, a great salvation has happened today. And when the people of the city heard her voice, the Kohanim all gathered, it's the crack of dawn. They come out, and they're all in celebration. They lit candles throughout Jerusalem, and they adorned the whole city. Everyone wore Shabbos clothes. And they brought Yehudit into the city, because they had thought that it was over. She hadn't come back for 3 days. They were sure that their only hope was gone. And so everyone surrounded her, and she went up on a platform, and she commanded everyone be silent. So the whole nation turned silent. And Yehudit said, Jerusalem, praise Hashem. Zion, you should praise your God, because He has strengthened the bolts of your gates, and He has blessed your children in your midst. Praise Hashem, our God. Praise His might. Praise His greatness, that His kindness hasn't left His family, and Hashem gave our enemy in the hands of a woman. The man who wanted to uproot all of Israel was taken down tonight. And then she took out of the bag the head of Eliphorni. And then she said, my brothers, listen here. I swear by Hashem that an angel protected me when I left here, and an angel brought me back here. The whole idea that I was able to be in his camp for 3 days and I wasn't defiled, that's Hashem who brought me here in this rejoicing, this happiness. Hashem saved me. Give thanks to Hashem. He is good. His kindness is forever. So the Jews gave thanks to Hashem. And Uzziah said to her, blessed are you to Hashem. You are more praised than all the women of the tent. And blessed is Hashem who created the heaven and the earth, who gave you the success that you brought the head of our enemy, the king Eliphorni. And your name will be exalted from this day onward. And people will always praise you, how through you Hashem gave us His kindness. You didn't care for yourself. You risked yourself to save His nation. And the people around answered, Amen. So then they called the king. Remember, there was a king who was in Jerusalem that Eliphorni had sent into Jerusalem. And Yehudit said to him, you see, Hashem, the God of Israel, who you stood in His honor, he said, so he took revenge from our enemy. Here you see, Hashem took down the head of the wicked tonight. And in order for you to know that Hashem stood by you, here's the head of Eliphorni. Here you see, his arrogance was taken down. He was disgusted with the God of Israel, and so Hashem took him down. He thought he'd kill you. And look, he's the one that's dead. When he saw the head of Eliphorni, he said, so too all the enemies of Hashem should fall. And he bowed before Yehudit and blessed her. Yehudit said to the nation, now take the head of Eliphorni and pierce it on the top of the wall. And when the sun rises, so then each of you shall take your weapons and blow your trumpets and go out to war. And all you have to do is stand outside the city and blow your trumpets. And when they hear that war is starting, they'll see you standing outside the city with your armor, ready to go to war. They will turn to their master. And when they go into his tent and they're going to find him wallowing in blood, then they're going to get very scared. Then you're going to see them looking up to the city. They'll see his head. When they see his head, they're going to start running. Don't attack till they're on the run. You wait outside the city. And that's what happened. It was sunrise. They hung his head at the top of the city. And every person stood outside the city with their weapons. Everyone who was standing outside the city blew their trumpets, blew their shofar. The people down below heard that war is breaking out. They're being attacked from Jerusalem. They run into Eliphornes' tent. They come in to wake him. And they walk in, and the eunuchs are standing outside. And they say, "Don't wake the king yet." And the king is busy. It's a special night for the king. So they say, "You don't have time. War is breaking." So they push the eunuchs out of the way, and they run into Eliphornes' tent. So they're standing, and the tent is surrounded with curtains, and they're uncomfortable. Who knows where what they're going to find them doing? So they stand outside, and they start clapping, and nothing doing. So they're scared, right? Who wants to disturb the king on such a night? So finally, the head officer slowly approaches the bed, and he moves the curtain, nothing doing. He opens the curtain and he sees Eliphornes' body all wounded and his head is gone. So he lets out a yell. He starts crying. He comes to Yehudit's tent and he doesn't find her either. He goes out to the nation and he says, "The Jewish woman, she did this terrible thing to us. You know, the king, he's rolling in his blood in his bed. And his head is gone." So the generals heard this. They all tore their clothing and they got very scared. So the whole camp is worried. Who's our general now? And they hear, the whole army starts hearing that their chief general is dead. So the people said, "I'm not waiting to see what's happening next." The people started running. So some started running, the other ones started running. And they left everything in the camp and started running out of Jerusalem. And they're running. They're running down the mountains. They're running through the vineyards. The Jews waited for that moment. When panic struck the Greek camp, then they started chasing. Until that moment, they just stood there clambering their weapons and blowing their trumpets. Once they were on the run, then they started running. That was her advice. And they chased them. Now again, they didn't take their weapons. They didn't take their loot. They just chased. So the nation, once the army was on retreat, the nation went out and took all the loot. They took the cattle. They took the horses. What?
We're talking about 1.2 million.
Right. But when panic strikes, it doesn't take a lot. And from that, they got very wealthy. Now, they took the wealth of Eliphornes and they gave it to Yehudit. And then that king who had spoken positively about Hashem, when he saw this miracle, he said, "Okay, now I not only speak positively, I want to convert." He circumcised himself and he became a Jew. And he became one of the families of Israel till this day, the Medrash says. And the Jews came back to celebrate with Yehudit, and they celebrated. The women started singing in her honor, "Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki l'olam chasdo." Yehudit is now considered a matriarch of Israel. She is the glory of Jerusalem. She is the joy of Israel. She brought back the honor of our people. She had the strength to represent Hashem and Hashem was with her to strengthen her, she should be blessed forever. And the nation blessed her, the elders and the youngsters, and they celebrated her victory. And the conclusion of the Medrash is the song of Yehudit, which she sings in honor of Hashem, and she tells people, it's not my honor, sing in honor of Hashem. Hashem is the one who controls wars. Hashem is the mighty one. There's no force like His. All of Hashem's creations should serve Him. We should thank Hashem. And so, if you ask me, after this great salvation, so the Jews purified themselves and offered sacrifices, and Yehudit took all the wealth she got, and they made 3 months of celebration, and throughout the life of Yehudit, the Jews weren't harmed. And for many years after, things were peaceful in Israel. That's the end of the Medrash of Maaseh Yehudit. And if you ask me, the most important part of the Medrash is Yehudit's speech to them. It's very tempting when things go bad to tell Hashem, okay, I'm going to hold out 5 more days. Now they were starving. I'm saying, you can understand people reach a point where they say, God, okay, we're 5 more days. You can understand that thought, but her speech to them, to my mind, is the highlight of the Midrash.